Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament today, God's people grumble against God in the wilderness. In Jesus' parable, the workers, who were called first, grumble against the master for not receiving more wages. The thread that connects all these scripture readings for today is really an argument. Because all things belong to God, and because he has chosen you for his kingdom freely, therefore, you have no right to complain, but only to give thanks. All things belong to God. This means God cannot be bargained with. It means you can't really give God a gift. You have nothing he wants. All is his already. And even if God did owe you something, not that that makes any sense, even if God did owe you something, who's going to make him pay? All things belong to God means that when you deal with God, all you have is his promise. You are entirely at his mercy. This is unacceptable to the grumbler. But in the mercy of God, faith finds a home. In a parable, when Jesus tells us what the kingdom of heaven is like, he's talking about how salvation happens. Salvation happens like a man who hires laborers for his vineyard. In other words, salvation begins with God calling people for his church. That's how it begins. Within the span of one day, now that's the length of this final age before the final judgment, within the span of one day, different workers are called. They are called out of the marketplace, that is, out of the world, where they otherwise stand idly by, accomplishing nothing of value. And they are called out of the marketplace at different times, some as late as the 11th hour. And in the end, they all get paid the same. And those who were hired first, called first, think it's unfair, and they grumble. Now, it's important to keep in mind one thing very clearly. The only thing that is fair with God is that he does what he wants with what belongs to him. That's fair. All the earth belongs to him, including you. Are you going to give God some of your time? Are you going to give him some of your wealth, some of your talents? How gracious of you. How very thoughtful. I bet God feels blessed for having such generous servants. Those called first think that their labor in the vineyard is theirs to give. And so they think they should receive greater thanks for giving up so much of their time and talents for so much longer than the others did. They think the master should appreciate them more. So do the people of God when they compare their work to others and believe some deserve God's extra appreciation. Listen. The length or the breadth of your struggles and strivings in this life are worth nothing to God. I don't mean he doesn't care. I mean they don't help him. Your good works don't help him. Your time already belongs to him. Your wealth is his. Your skill, your care at your craft, These talents are his. Or did you create yourself? Or did you create the air you breathe? Is it by your generosity that the rain comes and the crops grow and the vineyards produce grapes for the harvest? God doesn't need you to do anything. So why does he call? He calls you because you need something to do with your life that isn't a total wicked waste of time. In this world that's prepared for destruction. That's grace. But he doesn't need you. He can do the work with or without you. Martin Luther once said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. Okay, but let's understand this correctly. Strictly speaking, your neighbor doesn't need your good works either. God can still help your neighbor without you. Remember, Peter thought Jesus needed him. And he was arrested and he thought, Jesus needs me. So he got out a sword to fight for him and got so far as to cut off a soldier's ear. But Jesus said, you're thinking of this all wrong. Don't you understand if I was supposed to be delivered from this, God could send angels to do it? And I already told you that I must suffer and die. God could send angels to save me. He doesn't need you, and he doesn't want you to help unless he calls you. And not only does Jesus say, I don't need your help in this, Peter, he undoes what Peter did for him. Jesus gives the soldier back his ear. He heals the damage done by Peter's unfaithful labor. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia means those who have been called out. We are the called out ones. Called out of what? Called out of the world. The world is the marketplace and we are called out of it. The vineyard is the church and we who are baptized are called to work in it. And we do that by living out our faith in the world. But there is a temptation. Those who were called first, however that figures, are tempted to think they deserve more appreciation for their labor. And they're tempted to grumble when they don't seem to get it. But why grumble? Do you who were first think 11th hour believers somehow got away with something? They were out carousing with prostitutes in the marketplace, figuratively speaking, while you were working hard. Would you rather have been out carousing? Do you covet idle time in the marketplace, worthless to God? Does wasting time on your passions sound better for you than laboring in the heat of the day for the Lord? Yes, Johnny come lately. Spent his whole life indulging himself, only to repent the final hour. Do you wish you could have spent your life that way? If not, then why are you jealous? If God gave you the choice to be called sooner or later, would you rather be called later? You criticize your younger brother for his deathbed repentance. Are you jealous that you didn't wait as long as he did? No. Those who were chosen first have already received more because they didn't waste most of their life, but were engaged in fruitful labor for the Lord in his vineyard. One more thing. There's a lot of speculation as to what the denarius is in the parable, the coin, the wage. Is it forgiveness? Is it full Christian status? I think it might be death. At least as I was writing this sermon, I thought so. Death is the enemy, and yet death has become a portal to everlasting life for those who believe. Death is also a final escape from temptations of this world, its sufferings and its deceits. Death is the great equalizer, they say. And Job says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I leave this world." Death is what we all get for our labor here. In sin did my mother conceive me, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Eternal life in Christ Jesus is the free gift of God. It is above and it is beyond your agreed upon wage, worth infinitely more than a denarius. To those who simply want what their due wages, God says, "Death belongs to you. You earned it, and yes, you deserve it, and I owe it to you. So take what belongs to you and go. Leave my vineyard." What a frightening verdict that God simply gives you what you deserve and sends you away. But we have been given all things. Therefore, don't grumble for having less, but appreciate God for giving you more than you earned, more than you bargained for. And don't miss the forest for the trees. Don't regard the sufferings of this life as being worth comparing to the glory of being in the vineyard forever, with God in his kingdom. Don't begrudge the generosity of the Lord, for he is gracious to you. For there is a gift attached to death, a year-end bonus for those who believe. The wages of sin is a denarius, but the gift of God is eternal life in the vineyard with Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.